Take your outline out, if you will, this morning. And I'm not going to have you turn to a text. By the way, I do want to mention that this lovely lady on the front row, we celebrated our 30th anniversary. And I just want to say, Carla, I love you. And it was fun. That's pretty amazing, 30 years with me, to say the least. Look to the screen, if you will. Two verses that I'd like to look at. This is our annual vision message. So today is to talk about 2015. And so if you are our guest, or maybe you've only been here a few times, next week we will pick back up in our 2015 series in the course of the year. But today is to talk about what we believe for God has for us this year. So those who were engaged in the work labored. I like the way the ESV words this. 2 Chronicles 24:13. Those who were engaged in the work labored. All right? And it says, and the repairing went forward in their hands, and they restored the house of God to its proper condition, and they strengthened it. It's kind of a neat concept. What in Joash's day they did, they were rebuilding, bringing the spiritual reform, and those who engaged in the work, they labored. And they finished at an incredible spiritual reform there in Israel in that day. And then Jesus said in Luke 19, the familiar parable of the 10 minas, calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. Engage in business until I come. The message is clear here, and many of you know that parable well, but the heart of it is that the master, he was an owner of many goods, and he handed them out to those who would steward them while he left on a journey, and then he was going to return. And when he returned, he required an answer. There was you were to give record of how you handled his goods. And so we know it in the King James, occupy until I come. The ESV says, engage in business until I come. And so we understand when we look at that parable clearly that Jesus is saying that we are not only to be about our business, although it's important that we do what we do in life, but the heart of the story is the master had his business that was to be taken care of while he was away. And so we understand as the church, we have his business to do. So I want to talk about the word engage. And we're going to actually use this word many times throughout year 2015. But we engage a gear shift. We engage in conversation. We engage in conflict. We get engaged to be married. And how many know many times that's engaging in conflict? We, glad you're listening this morning. We engage the enemy in battle. We engage in a group. We engage in activities. We use this word or we do this all the time. I want you to pause for just a moment in your life, your context. And just think of the word engage as it relates to what God wants you to do with your life. Are you engaged in the work? In 2015, I want to ask you to engage in a few things around here at Central. And you're noticing the outline is powerful, prolific today, isn't it? It's just blank. Why is it blank? Because I want you to have a blank slate right now with God and with Central. And as we walk through this, what I'd like for you to do is just simply, when God would speak to you or really stir you in an area, just jot it down. It's something you may pray about later, work through later, but I just want you, as we walk through this together for the next 3 hours, just to let God just kind of speak to your heart as we do. You know, one of the dangers in life, and whether you're single, young, old, married, whatever your situation, one of the dangers is that you keep adding. And I know I've had that tendency in my own life that I learned through life, and I'm still learning now. There are times you just simply have to say, well, I'm going to stop something, because you just keep adding, it seems like. And in the new year, it's a wonderful time for you to self-evaluate where you are. And the last thing I want to do as a pastor is just keep adding things on. Matter of fact, as a staff in the last few years, we have very carefully looked at things, and there have been things that we have removed. And some of you are aware of that, or you have felt that, or you know that. And it was just a matter of prudent, I think, wisdom that we remove some things while we add some things. So the heart this morning in no way is to try to add on to you, but at the same time, it is a good time for you to evaluate, as it did any time in a new year. It's good for you to stop and just to consider what you have in your life, what you may need to let go of in your life, and what you need to add and just add to in 2015. And that includes some ways you can be involved and engage here at Central Assembly. Oxford Dictionary gives us a lot of meanings for the words. It carries a lot of nuances, as well as its origin. But bringing it from the middle centuries of about 500 years ago up to today, basically we land with engagement, or to engage as to involve something or someone. It's interesting. Webster's gives us three phrasal definitions of the word, and this really struck me for this message. The one is to engage in something, the other is to engage someone in something, and the other is to engage with someone or something. And those will fall into everything we talk about today. Let's start with a major thing to me. It's major, but it's so very simple. And it's something like every single one of us here can do. It doesn't matter. It won't take a lot of effort. But it absolutely could transform our church in year 2015. And it's something that is so easy that I think it's just kind of easily overlooked, almost like because of routine and habits, like your golf swing or a batter's swing or a pianist at the piano, that many times there's just the slightest little adjustment that needs to be made and you can't figure out what it is. Why am I kind of slicing everything a little bit to the right, or why am I pulling through and too much? And you have to have it looked at, many times videotaped, to figure out what it is. And we just tweak that little thing. And I believe this is one of those things that as a church body, we could make this an amazing year of literal transformation if we would do this. And it's something that's predicated upon our message last week. And by the way, if you weren't here, I would encourage you to go ahead and listen to it online or download the podcast. And I've had so much response to last week's message that I'm just going to read a children's storybook every Sunday from now on, if you were here, because you know what I'm talking about. But it's predicated really upon that. Number one today, engage with someone that you do not know. And I know that's really, really basic. But the scriptural reality of that is based upon little Punchinello and Max Licato's book we read last week. But the bottom line is this, that everyone who walks through the doors of Central Assembly is valuable to God. If you believe that, say yes. That everyone is valuable to God. Well, if they are valuable to God, valuable enough that God gave his son to die for them, valuable enough that he loves them, wants them to be part of his family, his kingdom, then certainly we should value them if God values them that way. And so one thing that I want you to consider to do is to engage with at least one person that you do not know every time you come through the church doors. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, let me illustrate it with something that someone told me about a few months ago. And they were having just a normal conversation with somebody and probably had the normal spacing of about, you know, 2.5 feet, something like that. It wasn't like a close talker in Seinfeld, really awkward, you know, but just a normal conversation. And he said that as he was talking, someone came and just kind of walked between them and looked at him, engaged him in conversation, said something brief to him, and walked right on their way. And he said what was so awkward about it, and he said he knew, and we know that this person would never intend to do this, but literally it was as if the other person was completely invisible, and all that person cared about was him. And so he talked to him, completely blew off this other person, walked on. Now, I know the man meant no intent, and don't worry about it. Nobody can remember. That wasn't you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know it wasn't you. Go ahead. Just go ahead. All right. It wasn't you. Doesn't matter who it was, but it illustrated something. And I think today as a church, we need to make like a covenant in our heart that we do not want one single person to be invisible at Central Assembly, to feel invisible. And I apologize as a pastor, because I'm sure probably every one of you, sooner or later, you can feel invisible. How many know that's a really bad feeling? You've been there before. I've been there before. That you walk into a room, you walk out of a room, nobody engages with you, and it's as if you're not even there. It doesn't even matter. I remember years ago, I went to a grocery store that the prices were really, to us, really high, exuberant compared to where we normally shopped. And this is back years ago in Phoenix. And I remember going into that store just because it was convenient. It was on the way. And I went in. I only picked up a few items, but I noticed the prices. It confirmed why we don't shop there, but I'll never forget the experience. Because every single person, it was as if everyone I bounced off of all the way through that store, what did they do? They engaged with me. They talk to me. Hi, how are you? Glad you're here. Anything I can do for you? All the way out, all the way through, that bagger at the end, all the way out the door. And I called Carla and I said, now I know why that restaurant, that grocery store can have high prices, but I know why they stay in business. Now, we never went back. Could I hear any man? But still, the point was that they engaged in everyone. They were well-trained, but you just sense that. And I know they're doing their job, and I don't want it to be like mechanical around here. I want it to be because we love God and we value people the way that he does, right? Let me just posture it this way, that often when we come to church, we forget. We go into our routine. We park the way we park. We fall on the ice the way we fall on the ice. We just do what we do as we come to church. But I want to posture to say we need to be more intentional. Every one of us. If this is your church home, then I challenge you to condition yourself, to prepare yourself, to intentionally think in your mind, who will I engage with today? And I'm only asking you to do it with one person. So you might be standing in the line and you have your kids in tow and you look in front of you or behind you and there is a single mom or single dad or a young couple and they have their kids, and just to turn and begin to talk with them. Or you may be on your way to a class and you're fixated. You know who you're gonna encounter. You know the people that you hang out with. You know who your teacher is most days, and you're headed there, but you notice someone that you do not know, and they're just standing there alone. Would you be willing to engage with them? You might just come in early and be sitting here, and I kind of joked with a young couple and an older, wonderful lady in our church just coming in the door earlier that they are going to illustrate my sermon perfectly. But I said, do you know them, and do they know you? And they both said, no, we don't know each other, and they met each other just right now. They engaged, but they were just sitting there. Now, all three of them have fully repented because I prayed right there. I'm just kidding. They don't need to repent, but you know what? It could change the culture of our church. Honestly, it's so basic that you just choose one person and you come readied to just engage with one person. So you can introduce yourself, find out what their name is. How long have you attended Central? Don't worry if they say, I've been here for 83 years. It doesn't matter. We have many people that have been here a long time, but you don't know them. They don't know you. So don't worry about that. Just tell them you love this church. You think this senior pastor hung the moon. Isn't he amazing? Whatever you want to talk about. But also in the midst of it, get their name. And if you're like me, I have a hard time with names. So after you leave, you may need to go ahead and put it in your phone or jot it down, jot that name down. Look for them the next time you're in that area, and hopefully you can re-engage with them. One of the most important things is to try to connect them a little bit further at Central. So ask him, if you're on your way to class, have you gone to a class? No, I'm just standing here waiting. Would you like to go to class with me? As you talk with them just a little bit about their life, if you engage a little bit further, you'll find what I do constantly with people. Constantly, I try to figure where they're at, what the need is in their life, because we have so much to offer as a church in ministry, in small groups, in relationships, but it's trying to connect them to that. So I try to encourage them to do that. What does this take? This takes you coming to church with others in mind. And that can be hard if we're in a routine, if we have our own circle of friends, if we just kind of choose to slip in and to slip out, if we're always in a hurry, if we just are here for ourselves. That'll be hard. But I'm asking you to engage with one person that you don't know every time you come here. And if you are pretty faithful to church, that means you're probably, let's just say you're here 40 Sunday mornings in a year. That means you will connect, engage with 40 people in a year. And let's just think that if 100 of us do that, there will be 100 people engaging. That means 4,000 people will be engaged with throughout this year. And so if 1,000 of us do this, that would mean that we would engage with 40,000 people throughout 2015 if we're only here 40 weeks. That's a heap a lot of people. How many know what I'm talking about? And you can multiply that Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. And if you choose, I'm just asking one, let's say you go ahead and choose that before service you want to engage with one, and after service you want to engage one, that's two people. Look at how it multiplies. I'm talking thousands of connections to be made as you choose to just go after one person to meet them, talk with them, see any needs they may have. Let me just throw something further. What about if you just, every time that you had the opportunity, you said, by the way, is there anything that I could pray with you about this week? How do you think most people would respond? You think they'd be offended or, I feel invasion of privacy with that? I don't think so. Not around a church. A church is a place of prayer. And so for you to say, could I pray with you? And then jot that down. Then the next time you see them to say, by the way, how is your aunt doing? How's your son doing? How's that situation going? Do you know what that can mean to people? See, one of the issues here is, trust me, we have a wonderful staff, and our staff is committed. We try to do all that we can possibly do. But the bottom line is we cannot be there for every need, every situation. And if everyone here, if you love our church and you are committed to our mission to say we want to connect people to God and to others and to their purpose in life, a great way we can do this is by engaging with one another on a regular basis here. How many people go to a church one or two, three times, never go back, and they say, you know what? No one engaged with me. See, this takes more than our staff, more than our leadership, more than our volunteers. It takes the church family, and the potential is absolutely incredible what it could be in year 2050. Number two, to engage with someone that needs Christ. And yes, I use the word again, someone, just asking you to think about one. It would be much better and more prudent for the Lord and his sake and his kingdom and his business that we engage in more than one. And yes, we talk about this all the time because we're a church. We have to. We are followers of Christ. But the bottom line is we win people to Jesus together. We disciple people for Christ together. It's so seldom, it's virtually rare that just one person does all of the work in someone coming to know Christ. Normally, as I emphasize to you, usually there's someone who has prayed. There's someone who has planted seeds. There's someone who has watered seeds. There's someone else that has prayed. There's someone else that's conversed. And then finally, someone engages that person about their relationship with Jesus Christ. Jerry Spain had an incredible experience in 2014 that I'd like him just to briefly share with us. Thank you, Jerry.
My wife, Joy, and I graduated from a high school in Valentine, Nebraska. Our unofficial motto was, tough as nails, hard as bricks, senior class of 56. Now, you might expect something corny like that from a man from the Cornhusker State. But one of our classmates was a gentleman by the name of Bill Joseph. Bill is an Arab American. His family moved to Valentine to run a grocery store, did well. Bill decided to stay home, became a wealthy man. We'd see him once in a while when we would go to class reunion. But in September of this past year, I was invited to be the interim pastor of my home church in Valentine. I remember asking pastor and some prayer partners to pray that I would be a witness to family and friends in that community, as well as to help the church. To my surprise, the first Sunday, I discovered that Bill Joseph's granddaughter had been converted and was in the church. And I was amazed because if I'd have thought of the list of classmates, I would have probably put Bill at the bottom and said, you know, I don't think he'll ever make it in that way. But I was surprised that week when I was sitting in the pastor's office to hear a knock on the door and open the door and the granddaughter with my classmate Bill was at the door, and she brought him in, and of course we began to reminisce the normal thing. We had both played basketball and football and championship teams and both set records in track and married high school sweethearts, so we had a lot of things to reminisce about. But his granddaughter discreetly slipped out, and before very long Bill changed the subject, and he said, Jerry, he said, I just want you to know I've tried religion, but it didn't work. He said, I'd go to church, and he said, I didn't understand what they were doing. They were going through certain rituals. So he said, I don't go back anymore. He said, but something is really missing. He says, I've made a lot of money, and I have a good family and a number of things. We run businesses here in town, but I'm missing something. And I said, Bill, I can tell you what you're missing. But first, I want to apologize, and I want to ask you to forgive me, because when we were both seniors and playing on that championship basketball team, I had a transforming experience of Christ in my life. And I didn't do a very good job of sharing that good news with you. So I've spent a lot of time trying to point people to Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you that that's what you're missing in your life. And I looked over and Bill was crying. And I said, Bill, would you like to start that journey today? He said, yes, I would. And so we prayed a simple prayer, sinner's prayer, together. And I walked around the desk and put my arm around his shoulders and said, "Bill, I want to pray that you'll learn how to follow Jesus, to read your Bible, and to pray, and to join with other believers." To my surprise, really, in a way, I guess, oh, you have little faith. Next Sunday, as I was teaching Sunday school, he walked into the Sunday school class and was there for Sunday school and church. A few days later, he announced to me that he had told his wife's family, he said, "You know, I've changed, and I'm going to the Assembly of God Church now." And he said, "You know, I would go to that other one, and I'd spend an hour and couldn't wait till I get out. Now I go for 2.5 hours to Sunday school and church, and I want more." A few days, we'd meet every week for a discussion. Several days later, he said to me, he said, "And doggone it, I want to try to get your brother and his wife into this church." I love the language of new converts. He was there every Sunday. I watched him as he was starting to read his Bible and study. And then towards the first part of October, he said, "You know, we go to Yuma, Arizona because we're snowbirds." And I thought, wow, he's just getting into the church and now he's going off to Arizona. And so I said, "Well, I'll pray that somehow you'll find a Bible-believing church in Yuma, Arizona." Again, to my shock and dismay, a few days later, I get a phone call from his family saying that Bill had made it to Yuma, but had had a massive heart attack and was in ICU. I picked up my phone, called his number. His wife answered, and she said, "Oh, Bill is here, and they're taking care of him, but he wants to talk to you." And I said, "Well, please, let's just talk. I want to pray with him." And when he came on the phone, he said, "Jerry, I just can't thank you enough." And I could tell he was crying. He said, "You pointed me in the right direction at the right time." He had open heart surgery, and they prepared things, and he went into rehab. I started phoning him, telling him about how he needed to get into a church. And I came to Pastor. I said, "Pastor, I don't know Arizona, but do you know of a church in Yuma, Arizona that would minister to snowbirds?" And he said he would do some research. So he did a little research and told me the name of a church. And when I called Bill to tell him about that church, before I could say anything about the church, imagine this, he said, "You know what?" He said, "My next door neighbors are Assemblies of God, and they go to a church that is called Foothills Assembly." And I said, "That's the church that my pastor says that you're supposed to go to." Isn't God good? Let's give him a clap this morning.
Praise God. Two thoughts on this. One is, this year, 2015, to pay the price for relationship. Now see, for Jerry, at his age, and think about it, isn't it a remarkable story? I mean, you think about high school guys that played ball together, et cetera. And I think all these years now, Jerry, in your 70s, that you get to lead, you have been on cloud nine since that day, Jerry. So exciting. To get to lead a classmate to the Lord 50 years later, more than 50 years later. Isn't that awesome? But that relationship is almost already there. For all of us here, understand, we have to pay the price. You're going to have that person over for dinner. You're going to have them come over and watch Alabama lose to Ohio State. You're going to have, oh, I'm sorry, Mike, that was painful, wasn't it? I hate to bring it up, but I didn't say anything last week and felt led. Wasn't even in my notes. Isn't it neat how God speaks sometimes? How many know Mike needs humility and Pastor Nick and Carter McDaniel? They need some of that humility. But you're going to have to pay the price. Have them over to barbecue. Have them over to do play games. Have them over in some way. Build a relationship. Do what they like to do. Discover what they like to do. We have to pay the price for relationships. You know who did that the best? Not Jerry Spain. Jesus. That's the way he ministered. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. Woman caught in adultery. Oh, a sinful woman. He spent time in the house of publicans and sinners. He'd go to Pharisees' houses. Many that would stand in opposition to him so often. Jesus went to those that were in need, and we need to do the same thing. It's going to have to be intentional. Second thing is to strategically invite them to church. And what I mean by that is, obviously, on any given Sunday, most of the time, the gospel will be clearly stated, and an opportunity of response will be given most every Sunday here. But it might not be that. It might be MOPS. It might be that, you know, do you know a mom with little ones, elementary, preschool age, that you know would like to have like 2 hours where someone else is taking care of their kids and they can sit together with other moms and talk about motherhood and talk about the challenges of child rearing? Do you know anyone like that and they don't know Christ? Why don't you invite them to MOPS? Do you know anybody that's gone through a difficult divorce? And you've watched their life and you know how they've spun out and now they're trying to rebuild and working. Do you know anyone? Invite them to divorce care. It's incredible. You know anybody that's gone through great loss? Whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be death. It could just be job. It can be they're just losing a lot at life and they're grieving right now. And you come in contact with them. Why don't you invite them to grief share? There's so many points that you can lead them to. Where you strategically, first of all, you pay the price for relationship. Secondly, you strategically invite them to church so they can hear more about Christ. Engage with someone that needs Christ. Third thing is to engage in a new approach to summer missions at Central. And realize, Central, we engage in missions all year round. It's a big part of who we are. Weekly, monthly giving. It's about 200 missionaries we support on a monthly basis. It's all the special projects. Mike just illustrated with Myanmar and Cuba. It's the trips that we take either as a church or the pastoral staff. It's again last year over $1 million that we gave to missions to see the Great Commission fulfilled in the earth. Praise God for all of that. And yet I'd like to introduce something new for us. Because every June, July, August, while missions continues and travels continue and students leave and come back, and we kind of go through our summer months as every church does, I'd like for us to embrace a new idea. And I already have 2017, I've talked to the missionaries, we're already set for what we're going to do next summer, 2 summers away, but this summer we're going to focus on a Buddhist country by the name of Myanmar. And if you just take a moment and absorb, this is Joel and Karen Hayes.
In 2010, our missionary team began to assemble in Yangon. This was the first time any AGWM personnel had ministered here in 45 years. Since then, there have been many changes in the country. And with these changes have come some challenges and opportunities. Our objective is to focus not on the challenges, but to position ourselves strategically to maximize the opportunities. We have launched an initiative to see 100 churches planted in areas where no churches exist and focusing on the unreached people groups of our country. Each district of the Myanmar AG is preparing 5 proposals, and once approved, will be matched up with a sister church in the U.S. These sister churches will provide financial support for 3 years, coming alongside with prayer and encouragement through visits and communication. We are trusting God that through this effort, we will see 1 million souls come to Jesus.
Myanmar is home to numerous Assemblies of God Bible colleges with over 1,000 students in enrollment. However, most school campuses are in disrepair and they lack enough facilities. The outdated educational materials are the norm, as well as a lack of resources and limited libraries. It's our goal to equip the schools nationwide so they are able to offer higher quality education. We're in the process of a multi-phase translation project that will allow our students access to global university bachelor level courses. This branch also seeks to bring in visiting academics, help resource libraries, and attain funds for much needed campus repairs and construction.
You're looking there at Evangel Bible College, which is where I spent those 6 days. And you can see the state of the buildings, because realize, again, almost half of a century, 45 years without U.S. missions involvement. And so there's great need there. Missionaries Joel and Karen Hayes are going to be here in March, and they're going to help elaborate for us a little bit more on a Sunday night. And also that Wednesday, we'll be talking about it more. But our goal is going to be to raise $100,000 in June, July, and August. And we will direct that toward the 5 Bible colleges, each of them that are in much disarray. They need repair, so much in their buildings. But Joel said $10,000 can go a long way in helping each of those Bible colleges. So $50,000 for the schools and $50,000 toward the church planting initiative. We're going to talk about this every Sunday for 13 weeks. Just keep it in front of us, because you come and you go, vacations, etc. But just to keep us reminded, and every single week, however you want to go about it, but what we're going to ask you to do is to give $1 a day for missions in Myanmar. It can make a major impact in that country. $1 a day. That is about a third of a cup of coffee for many of you every single day. Just $1 a day. That's $30 a month. Matter of fact, I would love to ask every college student here that you leave in May and you may kind of just, you get locked back into your home church and we want you to be a blessing there, et cetera. But if you would make that commitment, we're in your summer job, it's basically less than $100. It's about $90 that you give $1 a day to Myanmar. We believe we can easily raise $100,000 over everything else that we're doing. We're going to talk about it every week. We're going to have Joyce, one of their great single missionaries there, young lady, wonderful gal that I met and worked with some there. We're going to Skype her in June. We're going to Skype in Justin and Anna, who are right here from outside of Joplin, and we brought them in. They're brand new missionaries there, MAs with a little daughter, little baby. They're going to Skype in July, and then the end of August, when we come to our goal, we're going to Skype in Joel and Karen. We're going to celebrate together about Myanmar. $1 a day for those 3 months. We'll talk more about it, but we can make a major impact into those schools and in the church planning effort there. Fourth thing I'd like to mention is to engage in newly offered ministries here at Central. And I realize, as we mentioned earlier, and for many of you, you're already involved in maybe one or more ministries, but you may be here today and you say, you know, I've never quite found my niche. Then let me offer a few new ministries for you this morning. The first one is a confidential crises ministry. And I stress the word, they're confidential. This will be unique. And in the first half of the year, we are going to be offering here in just a few months through Pastor David, Pastor Don, and Andrew Matrone, who serves under Pastor Anthony Matrone, who serves under Pastor David, the area of our pastoral care ministry. We're going to offer you an extensive training in how to be there for someone in crises. It will be 50 hours of training, so it'll take a lot. Now, when I look at my first point, just to every time you come to church, talk to one person, engage one person, that's easy. This will be more difficult. This is to raise up a lay ministry among Central where no one falls through the cracks and we're there when people are in crises. And as we look at this, I mean, it's whether it's elderly, it may be a college student, it may be someone who is hospitalized recently or grieving a loss or fighting cancer, someone whose marriage, the family is in crises, couples that have suffered a miscarriage or just need someone to be there for them. The heart of this is to be there in crises, just to be there. And our pastoral staff, committed as they are, they can't possibly be covering all the needs that we have, and they come in constantly for us as a church. So we're committing to several weeks of solid training, again, so that confidence, no one will even know the relationship that you have with that person. The only ones will be our pastoral care department. And so you will keep it confidential, they will keep it confidential, and whoever you're ministering to will. And we'll just know what you are doing and monitor that, and we will be there for them completely anonymously. Second area would be what's called Empowered for Life, and this is a single mom's ministry. We have come to discover more and more one of the biggest, greatest demographics, both of economic need and spiritual need in our community and even in our church, are single moms. It's not to overlook single dads in any way, but single moms in particular. Matter of fact, we have such an issue with poverty in our community, and much of it has, and it revolves around those that are single mothers trying to make ends meet, trying to raise their family. So in collaboration with Single Moms Rock and the community, a partnership of the Ozarks, Empowered for Life is a 16-week program that these gals go through, and the sessions that we are going to have with them will not only help them to formulate how to make life work, but also spiritually will bring in the spiritual component. The pilot class will be 10 to 12 gals, and upon their graduation, we are going to link them with one of these crises-equipped lay ministers ready to meet with them and to follow them through finding jobs, going to school, starting an enterprise, whatever it is in their life that they've learned to try to help them to get established. The third one is a new ministry I'm really excited about, and it's simply called Neighbor's Kids. It's a collaboration right here within our children's ministry with Pastor Justin and with our community engagement ministry with Pastor David. But see, yesterday, in the cold of yesterday, 117 families came to our monthly food pantry. 117. That means hundreds of people when you include spouses or grandparents or children. As every month is, it's about 500 people that we are directly impacting through a food pantry every second Saturday of the month. And many times they will arrive, whether it's grandparents or parents, single moms, dads, they will arrive with their kids in tow, and there's really not much for the children to do. Oil Change Ministry, for a few years now, we've tried to minister to the children, but we've never taken this step, and I'm so thankful for Pastor Justin and Pastor David's heart in this, but we're going to begin Neighbor's Kids. And the goal, obviously, is to give the kids something to do while their parents go through and shop for their food out of our food pantry, but also for those getting oil change ministry done on their cars. We will take the kids in to have basically a condensed version of Kids Zone from that next day and to teach them God's Word, and hopefully that they'll want to come back to church. How many think that's a great new ministry? So you may say, I don't know what, amen. You may say, I don't know really where I quite fit. Maybe once a month it's that you come and help Pastor Justin with the kids ministry. It may be that you're willing to say, I'll do 50 hours of equipping to learn how to deal with a crisis situation. And here's kind of my area. And here's this person's area. And here's this person's area. And then we're ready. And when the crises come, David and Don can make the call and we can ask you to walk alongside of that person through this season of their life. The fifth and sixth things are quick, and then we'll be done today. To engage in Bible reading and prayer, of course, is 2015 in 2015. We've been talking for weeks about it already. Many of you are with me. You are traveling along, and I'm a week ahead of you because as next Sunday will be, as Pastor Mike referenced in the early service today, a proverb that we just read this week, our message each week is going to come somewhere from our reading. Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs, or else Psalms. Already for next week, as I was reading this week, there were a couple things that came out of the text, and I was reading in Jesus' words, and it struck me, and I began to go back, and I spent that 20 minutes in the Word that morning, a little bit more, but I was prayerfully looking, and I knew God was saying, this is what I want you to talk about next week. In essence, it'll kind of be vision two, in essence, next Sunday morning, but out of the reading that you are going to read this week. We encourage you to 20 minutes in the Word, 15 minutes in prayer and solitude every day. And if you don't have the bookmark, drop by the Connect counter as you leave today. We're giving that monthly bookmark. You can just keep in your Bible. Your handheld device, you can go to Bible.com. You can go to the one-year reading Bible plan. That's what we're using, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. And it's not too late to join in. You can do it anytime, but you'll be reading right along with the rest of us, and the message will come each week. The last thing is to engage in St. Jerome's fifth gospel. What does that mean? Well, St. Jerome said this in the fourth into the fifth century. He said, five gospels record the life of Jesus. Four you will find in books, and the one you will find in the land they call holy. Read the fifth gospel, and the world of the four will open to you. And last March for me, it was a life-changing week with Pastor Mike and the team of pastors that went with Mark Turnage, with Dr. Jim Bradford. We had an incredible week there in Israel. And now I want to go back. I'm going to go back as many times as I can before Jesus comes. But I tell you, this is what it does. I will never look at Capernaum the same. I will never look at the Sea of Galilee the same. I will never look at many of the tells that you see. I can picture where David battled Goliath. I can picture the caves there where David went back in and multiple events of his life in those caves. I can picture so many, and especially I can picture Jerusalem and have an understanding because I've been there one time. I've been on missions trips all over the world. I've done so I don't know how many missions trips, and I will continue to do that, but I always want to go back to the land that they call holy. Because as St. Jerome said, it's really like the fifth gospel. And once you've been there, it's like just an accompany to the other four gospels. So and I wanted just to insert this at the end of our vision message this year, because it's not until 20 months from now, it's in the fall of 2016 that we're going to go with Mark Turnage and the Center for Holy Land Studies and have a trip just for Central. And I'd love to have you go. Of course, it's costly, and that's why I mention it now. You have 20 months to begin to budget out the price, somewhere around $2,700, but you've got 20 months to begin to budget that and to pray about that, and I seriously want to encourage you to November 1st through the 10th in 2016 that we're going to take a wonderful trip to Israel. All right, now, did you jot down anything? You may say no. I'm going to pray that God resonates in something in your heart. My greatest heart today would be really the first two, that you will, every time you come to church, engage with at least one person. And by that is a little bit of an investment of time. It's how are you to meet them, how long you attended here, my name, your name, etc. Find out about family, and hopefully to try to see them be more connected here at Central. The second one would be to engage with someone who does not have a relationship with Christ, and to strategically not only invite them to church, but to take the time. You're going to have to invest the time it takes to build a relationship with them, that in turn you can lead them to a relationship with Christ. Well, I have prayed, I don't know how many times, with Jerry Spain. I love Jerry, great missionary to Africa. But I tell you what, to watch the joy in this guy's heart over his classmate from high school coming to know Christ, he's been like a new man in the last few months. Because that's how fun it is to lead someone to Jesus. Wouldn't it be awesome if every single one of us this year engaged in a relationship with someone that doesn't know the Lord? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful that church growth in the future for Central Assembly, we became known as a church. You know how we grow? We grow numerically through people being added into the kingdom of God rather than switching churches when they're wounded and hurt. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know how it'll happen? Is when we do it. We. Oh, that's you, by the way. And me. That we do it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes today. No one looking about, just for a moment, if you will, we're going to close. Please be careful as we will end in a prayer in just a moment, and as you'll go. But I'd like to ask if there's anyone here today that you say, you know what, God engaged my heart just now. Matter of fact, things that I just talked about, maybe you've talked about before or thought about before, maybe you've never thought about, but right now, you just lift your hand and say, you know what, God rattled my cage in an area today. You just put up your hand, you just let me know today. I feel God has spoken something to my heart this morning. How many of you, let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. That's awesome. That's wonderful to see. I thank God for that. I'm going to pray for any who did not raise your hand, that just God will massage this message into your heart. There's something that he would like for you to do for him in 2015. You may be here and you say, really, God is engaging your heart right now, and it's like something like never before. Matter of fact, as Jerry told a story, that resonates with you because you feel much like that man that sat in the office that Jerry was just temporarily occupying as a pastor in a little town in Nebraska, Valentine, Nebraska. But you feel like that person. You say, you know, Jeff, I have this, I have that. I'm here in my life, or I'm preparing for this. But I realize I'm missing something. I'm missing something. And you feel that. It is a spiritual thing in your heart. That's Jesus. That's God drawing you. I'm telling you, until you have a relationship with Christ, I don't care what you achieve. I don't care what you have outside of Christ. You have nothing. This week, when I found out that Stuart Scott had passed away, 49 years of age, ESPN commentator I'd watched for years on ESPN, I didn't even know he was sick. I just hadn't been following, but I realized, wow, I hadn't seen him on the sportscast for some time. It's because he was battling cancer, and I hadn't tracked. Somehow, I just had missed it. But when that man died at 49 years of age, my first thought, standing there, listening to the radio in my home, I thought, I wonder if anyone near him at ESPN had a relationship with Jesus. And then the bigger question, I wonder if anyone at ESPN then shared Christ with Stuart Scott. I don't know. That means I really don't know his eternal destination. But it's settled now. It's settled. Yours can be settled today. Is there anyone here, you say, Jeff, I would like to start my new year by asking God into my life, by asking Jesus into my heart, believing that he died on the cross for my sins, like any other Christian church you're going to find all across Springfield today, this is what we stand for. This is our message. Jesus died on the cross for every one of us. For this entire city, he offered his life. We have to come to him, put our faith in him, and believe in him, trust him. If that's you this morning, you say, I want to do that. Would you just put up your hand long enough that I can see it? I see that hand. Is there anyone else today? You put up that hand right now. Let me just see it. Just hold up long enough. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? You put up that hand just quickly. But you say, that's me right now. I want to ask Christ into my heart. Is there anyone else? I'll give you just a moment. Anyone else? Yes, I see that hand. You can put it down after you've raised it. Thank you. appreciate you doing that. Just as acknowledgement of your need for Christ. Anyone else today? Anyone else? Give you just a moment longer. Anybody else? Anyone else? You feel God dealing with your heart. He's just kind of tugging at your heart. Why not just make today the day? Anyone else? You'll join at least three. Anyone else? Anyone else? Give you a moment. Amen. Oh, thank God for three. You may be here and you say, I don't want to raise my hand. But you're there. Listen, what matters to me is that you talk with me and with all of us and you talk to God right now. I'm going to invite you to do that. Would you pray with me right now? I'm just going to ask everyone to pray together out loud. This is like that moment Jerry had in that office. It's like a moment you can have with someone personally right here at the altar in front. But this is your moment right now with God, right as you sit there. And we're going to pray with you. And what a total joy this is for us. It's one of the main reasons we're here today. It's that Christ loves us all so much. And for you to receive him now. Can we just pray these words? Just say it with me. Say, oh God, I don't have all the answers. But I'm trusting your word, the Bible you gave us, that tells me about Jesus, your son. And I believe in him. Again, I don't understand everything, but I believe Jesus came to earth, that he went to the cross, and he was crucified, an agonizing death, because I've sinned, and everyone in this whole world. So God, please forgive me of all of my sin. I invite Jesus into my heart. Please change me from the inside out. I put my hope and my trust in you today, that I now have eternal life. I believe in Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I prayed that prayer when I was a little boy. Prayed it again when I was a little boy. Prayed it again when I was a little boy. I prayed it a million times as a teenager. I prayed it all through my adult life, and I still love praying it even now. And I think we need to. Not so much to receive them again and again and again, but it's to repent of our sins and realize that this world, it just wears on us. And that's why we need to grow in our faith. Listen to what Jerry's testimony was. Here's a man in his mid-70s that had everything, had got a lot of money, but something was a void there, and it's so full right now with Jesus. You know what was a key? He connected to a church. Even in Yuma, Arizona, there ain't much in Yuma, trust me. I've been there many a time, but he found a church there. And then he'll come back into Nebraska, plug back into that church. It's so important for you. Right in front of you, there's a little card in the back of the pew in front of you. It's called New to Faith. And I would encourage you to take it. It's perforated. You can tear off one portion to keep for yourself. And if you want to take the other portion, just to fill it out, let us know this is your day. This is very important for you. This is a confession before man. And if you take it back to the Connect counter, there are people there who love to talk to you, pray with you, answer any questions you might have. But they'll pray with you right there after the service. Just walk right out. Even if you're in a balcony, make your way down. It's worth it. Drop by there, and if you'd hand this in, we'd so appreciate that. Would you stand with me this morning? So glad that you are here today. Many that missed this, and we're going to move on next week. Next week's 2015, kind of a vision point too, but it's based on our reading throughout this next week. I encourage you to be in the Word. Say it with me, 2015 and 2015. A lot of you are already doing it. Join us. Just jump in. Start tomorrow. Go by. Pick up your bookmark. Go online. You can find the details there. We'd love to have you join us. 20 minutes in the Word, 15 minutes in prayer to change your life. Lord, protect us as we leave now, I pray. Guard us on the streets, Lord. We don't want to hear of any more accidents. And we pray, Lord, over our own body, but also the many, Lord. If there are accidents, most of them are probably going to church today. And so we pray, God, that you will guard and protect everyone as they leave here in just a moment. And Lord, thank you for a new year, Lord. We get to turn a new page. Thank you for a new ministry to moms, Lord. Thank you, Father, for a new ministry that will be a help to people in crises. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to minister to the children of our oil change ministry and our food pantry ministry this year. Lord, if that speaks to any hearts, I pray that they'll let us know, Lord, and we'll move forward in volunteering for these ministries, Lord. But above all, help us to engage with one another, but also with those that don't know you, we pray. We commit this new year to you in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. And bless you as you go today. We will not see you tonight. We'll see you Wednesday night.